You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
It's not often that we get a special guest on the MSP Zone, but today we have two special guests for the price of one. I'm talking about our good friends over at PCmatic, and who we've been working with the PCmatic folks for many years, and they sell into the MSP space. A lot of MSP Alliance members use them. Corey Munson, our old friend, welcome to the program. And yeah, Corey, you brought a special friend of yours.
I'll let you give Scott the formal introduction that he deserves. But you know, if you ever want someone straight out of Central Casting to be the FBI guy that walks through the door to help you in a pinch, Scott is the guy. Scott, so I'm excited to have him along for the ride here today.
Absolutely. Scott Augenbaum, Supervisory Special Agent, FBI retired. Welcome. Did I get all that right?
You left out a couple of things, but don't worry, I'll cover it.
You'll fill in the gaps. Excellent. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us. I'll start off with an easy one, which is I know both of you cover the same territory, but maybe approach it from very different angles. What's the status of our war in cybercrime? Are we winning? Are we losing? Are we at a draw? What's your best assessment, Scott? I'll maybe start off with you.
We're losing. I hate to say it. I'm going to come right out. I'm from New York City. I've been living in Nashville for about 16 years, married to a Southerner. I don't know how to sugarcoat things. I've been involved with handling cybercrime since 98. But let's go back to a really interesting statistic. Cybersecurity Ventures tells us that in 2015, the cybercrime problem was a $3 trillion problem. By 2021, up to a $6 trillion problem. By 2025, it's tracking to be a $10 trillion problem. So when we start, and during my career with the FBI, I touched 1,000 victims. I didn't read my information from some kind of data breach report. I had the experience. I'm still dealing with it. So the unfortunate thing today is the problem is bad and it continues to get worse. And that's the future. But the future is not set in stone.
Well, that's a glimmer of hope. Corey, I might throw that one to you. Is it winnable? I mean, Scott brings up, you know, I'd probably agree with his assessment. We've had some hard times over the last couple of years, even in the MSP channel. What's your assessment of, can we win this thing moving forward?
You know, when I'm asked that question, I say it's difficult to answer because the target's going to be moving. You know, what are we defeating and what do we qualify as a win? I think the challenges are new every single day. So the are we winning on a given day is probably the bigger question. The thing that gives me hope, and this is one of the reasons that we feel like the PCmatic message aligns well with Scott's message, is there are still things that can be done to take a more preventative approach to a lot of these issues. And unfortunately, time and time again, even in the most major of breaches, you're seeing basic blocking and tackling wasn't followed. So to me, that gives me hope. I mean, whether it's basic controls, MFA, whatever it may be, there's still some opportunities to definitely take a more aggressive posture. And that in itself could, you know, they're smarter people than me, Jen Easterly, Scott, Chase Cunningham, a lot of smart folks out there talking about the fact that a lot of this stuff can be prevented with just basic cyber hygiene. So that gives me hope.
When you say, I mean, but let's take the conversation. Okay, it can win, but let's just go back. You know, during my career, I've touched all these victims. And what did I discover? I call this the four truths about cybersecurity. The first one is none of my victims ever expected to be a victim. They were all completely blown away. And I'm sure in the MSP space, there's a couple of smaller MSPs that are going, hey, why would anyone want to target us? We can target the large ones. I've dealt with that in Nashville in healthcare. Everybody was blown away. They all had products and services, because now I'm going to take it a little different. We know the cybercrime problem is going to continue to go up, but the amount of money we're going to spend keeps increasing. That to me isn't basic math. That doesn't add up.
Meaning that we have to have a return on the result, or return on this, on the expenditure. Is that what you're getting at, Scott?
Well, look, I'm going to rephrase the question, because, you know, as a government guy, that's what I do best. Sure. Okay.
Redirect.
Redirect. So I'm going to ask you, Charles, the problem keeps getting worse, but the amount of money we keep spending keeps increasing. So as we're tracking the $10 trillion loss, whatever it is now on the spending is going to almost increase. So when I'm sitting out here, because I do a lot of education and awareness to organizations, what do you think the message is when I tell people that you're going to keep spending money and the problem is going to get worse? What does that mean?
Well, it's a bleak future, number one, if they're just expected to have an unlimited amount of zeros in their checks spending on security. But I would like to focus. I accept that point. And I think, Scott, you said that we're losing the battle right now.
We're hopeless. I'm going to explain that. It's not hopeless. We got to drag people into the bleakness of the situation, and that's so important.
Yeah.
But I want to put two points in that'll make you even more depressed. Okay, Charles? And we're not going to leave the viewers on a bad note. First of all, okay, you're going to continue to spend money. The problem's going to get worse. When the bad guys steal your stuff, and think about what is your stuff, your brand, your reputation, your data, you get hit with ransomware, you call the FBI, Secret Service, Department of Homeland Security, we're not coming in with a magic wand and fixing the problem and getting your money back, your data back. Leads us to point number three. The chances of law enforcement putting the bad guys in jail is even harder than getting your stuff back. And in 2008, I was telling the financial services sector that Russian organized crime with ties to Vladimir Putin was the number one threat to the financial services sector in 2008. So when you take all that, now everyone's getting depressed. But what if I told you that 90% of what I dealt with in my career easily could have been prevented if the end users were only armed with a couple of key pieces of information? Am I oversimplifying things? Yeah, quite a bit. However, if a majority of things could be prevented, why don't we focus on doing those things first? Because I don't care what you have in place. There is no silver bullet. Technology, it's easy to say that technology is going to solve your problems, but we really need a cyber secure mindset.
Well, look, I completely agree with you, Scott. I think it's a fantastic point. I agree with the external threats. I would like to ask you a pointed question, which is, do you think that MSPs or MSP customers alike, doesn't matter which, do you think that they have a false sense of law enforcement is going to bail me out, therefore I don't have to do X? Is that a real thing, or is that not really?
Absolutely. Well, I'd say the greater threat that the MSP customer has is, hey, listen, there's a technology solution for every problem. That to me is a bigger threat over here. That all of a sudden, all these different tools and all these things on the stack are going to keep you safe. A lot of them will, but we're dealing with the business email compromise.
Yep.
$30 billion fraud can be better than any malware. We're dealing with ransomware that's being distributed by email. And then when it comes down to it, and once, you know, we can't get people to stop clicking on links, but we can prevent executables from running. And that's where it's so important when we get to the technology piece. And that's hard. Do we know what's on our network? Does everyone have admin rights? Are we allowing any type of application to run? Those three things there are the really important pieces when we talk about the technical stack.
Eminently preventable. So I want to get both of your perspectives on this. Is if the spending is going up and people are saying, I can't continue with that spend trajectory, let's start giving them some practical advice. What and Scott, you've alluded to a few. Maybe, Corey, if you want to jump in here, what are some of the basics that we should be doing to just really dramatically lower some of these successful attacks?
Well, let me talk about the mindset, and I'll have Corey talk about the tactical piece. Well, let me just explain. First of all, email has been the weapon of choice since 2002. Majority of bad things happen because of email. According to my friends, all my buddies with the FBI who are retired are all doing intrusion response. 85% of intrusion response is account compromise. And why is there so many account compromises? I used to blame it on phishing. People don't need to fish anymore. Dark web, we have 8 billion passwords online. Most people are using the same password for multiple accounts. A lot of the issues that I see today are attacks against SaaS platforms because they don't have two-factor authentication on those platforms. But they all had great firewalls in place. They all had MDR, XDR, whatever you want to call it.
Wait, Scott, you're saying that SaaS platforms are targeted now because the bad guys believe that they're not using MFA on those SaaS platforms?
Well, to believe that they're not using that, but when I go out and I speak at a conference with 100 CISOs and I explain, and these guys all have a lot more technical knowledge than I do,
right.
But all of a sudden I'm like, how many of you guys, and that's a New York Southern is for y'all, how many of you guys are having conversations with your salespeople? For Salesforce, I have seen so many data breaches occur because bad guys have gotten into HR platforms. Bad guys have gotten into payroll platforms. The business units and technology. And remember, what's the role of technology? To keep the crown jewels safe. Where are the crown jewels today? They're in all these different platforms. And now I can't tell you how often they get breached. People are paying 5-6 figures to get an IR firm to tell you this. Hey, they got into your Salesforce and you didn't have two-factor. Thank you.
Cut a big check. Thank you very much, right? So look, but both of you are explaining really, I would classify it as fairly simplistic and not overly expensive solutions that would have somewhat of a powerful impact, on lessening cyber surface attack?
When I retired from the FBI 4 years ago and people said, Scott, you're going to go around the country telling people, think before they click, don't use the same password, use two-factor authentication. Everybody knows that message, but they don't. According to Google, only 10% of Gmail users are using two-factor authentication. Most companies can't identify what are their SaaS platforms. This, for us, is easy, and it's easy to teach it to people at home. But that makes up 90% of what I dealt with. The other 10% is why I partner with my friends with PCmatic, because no matter how many times you read my book, no matter how many times you hear me lecture, I can't stop malware. I can't stop an application from being exploited on your organization.
That's a stunning percentage. I mean, it sounds like this is an education problem.
That's why I call what I do the cyber secure mindset. And let me tell you, I didn't create it. I just happened to be the guy who dealt with 1,000 victims and identified patterns. And looked at patterns and saw that identifying patterns is one thing, but taking those patterns and applying them into real life. Now, what if we take these patterns and we share them with the MSPs so the MSPs can start sharing them with their clients? Now, an educated workforce is the best thing because at the end of the day, people are coming back and they're saying, well, hey, I got hit with the business email compromise and your technology solution didn't block it. It's mindset. It's going to block it.
I've been hearing about this concept of, if you're a good salesperson, you sell by education, you inform the person that you're trying to sell to. Do MSPs have, and this is for either of you, do MSPs have a firm understanding of the education that needs to take place? And do they understand how to sell security in 2022? Do they get it?
I'm going to jump in and say that they do not. And I think this is an ongoing challenge. And it's not new this year. I think the headlines have maybe ramped up the confusion, but it's, are we out there selling on fear, uncertainty, and doubt? What we advocate for is you need to be real. You need to be real with your end users about what the threats are and then propose solutions. But it has to be a holistic solution. It can't be just, like Scott said, a technology-based solution, although, you know, PC Medics obviously feels like we're a part of that. But it's the holistic solution of also recognizing that you've got half of the workforce is still working from home, in most cases working on poorly secured laptops, minimally secured home networks with little or no training from their employees. If you're an MSP walking in to take care of a small and medium-sized business, to just neglect or overlook all those factors and simply offer up some sort of technology stack as a solution, it's just irresponsible. So I think the sales approach now for MSPs has to be more realistic about what the threat really is and more holistic. And with those two things in hand, I think you're in a much better position for becoming that trusted advisor that every MSP aspires to be.
And that's a hard thing. And you know, Corey, when you, a lot of the people don't get it, because at the end of the day, when I'm sitting here, when does my message resonate? When I talk about my neighbor whose friend got a telephone call, elderly person from the IRS saying to you, if you don't pay your taxes, you're going to go to jail, and lost $30,000, or the kids being impacted by sextortion, the business email compromise. And during my career, I've seen so many small businesses go under because they couldn't afford expensive technology solutions. And that's one of the myths, is that, hey, I'm not a technology person, I don't understand this. Here's the big point that I want everyone here to understand. It does not take a lot of sophistication to get access to a username and password and wreak financial havoc on an organization. However, it does not take a lot of sophistication on your part to be able to provide people with this kind of education and real world examples. And unfortunately, we're not seeing a lot of this these days, because companies, I mean, let's think about everything I told you to do. Think before you click, think before you act. Don't use the same password for multiple platforms. Have strong, robust passwords. Turn on two-factor authentication. When I go out and I tell organizations that that needs to be the core message here, how much does it, that account for like 85, 90%. How much money does anyone need to go out and spend to be able to implement what I just told you to do?
Very little.
Yeah, there's no money in it. There's really no money in it. So that's why.
So I'm going to get to another problem, which maybe it's not a problem, but there's a lot of tech and a lot of good tech, but there's a lot of tech being thrown out there, developed. I say thrown. It's being developed. It's being built. It's being sold and marketed to the MSPs and to customers. We're not taking an anti-tech approach, but I'm hearing from both of you, look, it doesn't matter how much tech you're going to spend. That's not going to solve your problem if you don't change behavior.
I'm not saying don't spend money. You need tech. But tech's not going to protect you and your kids and your elderly parents, or it's not going to protect you from the business email compromise. And what's going to happen when you get an email from somebody you know and somebody you trust because they don't have two-factor authentication and they trick you into sending large amounts of money? So that's, the message isn't don't buy technology. The message is that technology goes only so far as long as you're educating your customers and you're doing your part to keep your customers safe. And eventually people are starting to become victimized by certain aspects like the business email compromise. And then they go back to their partner and say, you told me you're a tech solution to minimize my risk. And how did you let this happen?
Well, that reminds me of the patient that goes to the doctor and says, well, you know, I thought you were going to heal me, but you know, they're smoking a pack of cigarettes a day and, you know, drinking whiskey and living life, you know, large.
Oh, and that's why it's not easy. And I've been dealing with this since 1998. And there's been different milestones. I mean, people say, why is the government not doing more about it? I was assigned to this in 1998. FBI forms a cyber division in 2003, a national strategy. In 2007, my mission was to tell businesses that Russian organized crime was the number one threat to the financial services sector. After the Mandiant report came out, when did the Mandiant report come out? Like 10 years ago? We were talking about, that was the first time the Chinese government was actually outed for espionage and cyber. We knew about that for decades, but we couldn't talk about it. And now everyone's wondering, how did we get into this mess? And I'm going to tell you point blank, government's not going to solve your problems.
Okay. So I want to, so let's start with some practical prescriptions. All right. MSPs are listening to this and they're saying, okay, wow. So technology is not going to solve it. I need to do a better job. What are some advice, and this is to either of you, what advice would you start giving MSPs on how to get their customers starting to understand this stuff better?
I'll take a breath, Corey. I don't want to do all that. I could do all the talking all day long.
You're on a roll, Scott. Keep going. I'll jump in.
Well, here's the thing. Okay. What I want you to do, and this is what everyone needs to think about this as an individual. We need to think about this as an individual. If you do not have two-factor authentication on all of your personal mission critical accounts, the bad guys will get into it. So what's personal mission critical? Your email needs to be secure. Your social media, your bank account, your finance information, any cameras that you have, IoT devices, your Verizon or AT&T account. If you do not have that, the bad guys will destroy your life. And then people go like this to me, Scott, I don't want to do it. It's too hard. And you know what my response is? I don't care. So I'm not going to tell you what to do. But when you have a problem, call me and I'll put you in touch with one of my intrusion response buddies. Mention my name and they'll take 10% off your 5, 6, or 7-figure retainer. Then they'll kick me back 25%, but I can't say kick back because in this world it's called referral fee. And you know what they're going to tell you for the big check you wrote? They're going to say it's the advanced persistent threat. And you know what I'm going to tell you? Someone got access to your username and password. Account compromise, that's the number one thing. Now, on the technical side, we got to follow a little bit on the core critical controls. We need to block, you know, we need to handle the malware issues. And here's another thing, none of my victims, when we talk about, even if you do all that, none of my victims had application whitelisting in place. They were allowing any type of application to run in their space.
Well, Corey, I know you and I have talked about that in the past. That's something you're really passionate about.
Yeah, obviously that's at the core of what we do. But it's crazy to think that in 2022, we're letting anything run on these machines that we're responsible for protecting is kind of crazy. And you know what, the approach we're taking with application whitelisting isn't new. We're not reinventing the wheel. We've simply been able to streamline it and make it more efficient, make it more practical for MSPs and organizations of all sizes. But again, this is low-hanging fruit. We're not saying there's not a place for EDR and XDR and backup and everything else that goes into a smart, multi-layered security strategy. But it's not at the expense of some of these basic things that could be done at a fraction of the cost. And I get a sense that not everyone is prioritizing like they should. And again, this is why what we're talking about a lot with our MSP partners aligns well with Scott's message.
So it's easy, relatively easy stuff to implement, whether it's psychologically easy to implement, that's a whole nother thing. Maybe Scott, to you, is this going to be a situation where we just need to get a certain number of organizations breached before they start to realize, and I'm talking about the mass, they realize that, hey, this is something we all have to start changing.
Well, yeah, I've been through a couple of milestones in my life because I realized that when Google was breached by the Chinese in 2012, that was a game changer. We were going to take things seriously. And that came and went.
Yeah.
And then in my area of responsibility, when Community Health Systems in Nashville, Tennessee was breached and the Chinese government stole healthcare information for the first time, that was a game changer. Didn't change. And then there was Target in 2013. That was a game changer. And then the FBI provided guidance on these two threats that were really flashes in the pan in 2015 to say, companies, here's the steps that you need to take. They were two very little threats. One is called ransomware, and one is called the business email compromise. And in 2015, myself and my good friend Brett Watkins were going out and talking to companies, knocking on doors, going, hey, guys, I just want to let you know this is a game changer. You need to be careful. And out of 30 large organizations that I went to talk to, only two of them took me up on my offer in 2015 to provide training. And then people said, well, the first time we have ransomware on a major utility, things will get better. No, once somebody dies from ransomware, things are going to get better. No. Well, once we start getting involved in cyber warfare, that's already happened. So I don't know the answer. And, you know, this is why this is a passion project to me. And I don't play in the world. And people go, Scott, you have a lot of fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And I go, I just explained to you 90% of it easily could have been prevented if you would just do these five or six steps. Do them.
Well, Scott, I love how we've come to this conclusion of our conversation, which is you start off with, look, we are losing, but it's winnable. And here's what you have to do to win it. And it's mostly just behavioral changes and organizational changes. In parting, what's some of your last thoughts of what should the MSPs out there listening start to do like today in order to start changing behavior of customers?
Make it personal. Explain to them, like when I go in and I get brought into a company to change behavior, I'm making it personal. People want to know how it impacts them at the end of the day. And also, we're never saying don't spend your money. But if I'm talking about things like application whitelisting, reducing admin rights, knowing what's on your network in 2012, you know, what I'm doing with my friends, and that's where I got a great relationship with PCmatic because I've been talking about what they do for years, even before I even knew who they were. So it's just taking these steps, making it personal, not giving up hope.
I like it. Corey, any parting thoughts?
Yeah, I think MSPs just really need to reconnect to the fact that this is a big opportunity, but it's also a responsibility for them to be able to be that trusted advisor. There are small and medium-sized businesses that desperately, and I mean desperately, need MSP guidance here. And it's not just what's the gold, silver, bronze package and sign me up for one. It's a holistic evaluation of what their security posture is as an organization and who's going to help me. Because the reality is these companies don't have the money to hire their own IT staff, let alone someone that specializes in security. This is the opportunity for MSPs. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone knows it exists. The MSPs that will win are those that will go in and treat this as like Scott said, a more personal appeal that takes a look at holistically what the risk is and then present solutions. They don't walk in with every headline of every breach and say the world's coming to an end, but they're realistic and they provide realistic solutions.
It's a winnable war. Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
I just want to tell you, you know, when people go like this, they go, hey, Scott, can you come to my company and give us an update of everything that's new? Let me tell you, when I sit down with my FBI buddies, since I'm really well connected, I go like this. Hey, guys, is there anything new? They go, no, it's the same stuff. It's just a lot more ransomware, a lot more business email compromise. I'm going to be honest. My presentations haven't changed at all since 2015. Still talking about the same stuff.
Hey,
Quantum computing, advanced persistent threat. I'm like, do the basics.
We could win this, gentlemen. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Scott Augenbaum, Corey Munson, appreciate you both coming on. Guys, will you come on in the future and we can have more of these conversations? I'd love to have you both. Maybe we'll get Brent Watkins to join us.
Oh, that'll be great. Brent and I can debate. It'll be wonderful.
I love it. Crossfire. Gentlemen, that's it for today's MSP Zone. I hope you guys definitely take what Scott and Corey had to say, take it to heart and start to educate your customers, because this is a winnable war and we need to win it. So until next time, this is Charles Weaver with MSP Zone.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you will get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.